All right, it's Jeff Dubé here with another installment of the 5-Minute Major. This would be episode number 6 over our first couple of weeks. And we're going to touch on the Twins today for the first time. And I know that I've clashed with some of the fans and the followers and Twins fans and people who follow me on Twitter, whatever, about Ron Gardenhire and Terry Ryan. And I mean, you're probably not going to like what the content of this is going to be because, number one, this is the time of year where Terry Ryan is as good as there is in baseball. And that just cannot be denied. I mean, I'm not saying the man's perfect. I'm not saying mistakes haven't been made. But most of the Twins' personnel issues right now in this organization have to do more with Bill Smith than with Terry Ryan. Terry, this time of the year, he's so good. He's so good, not just at bolstering the roster if he's going to make a push, but he's so good at turning, you know, bit parts into really legitimate future building blocks. And he did it again yesterday with Malone getting the left-handed starting pitcher from the A's to send back an outfielder that was a cast off from Oakland earlier this year. I mean, Fold is a nice player. He's one of these guys who he runs down everything. He's got, you know, great range in center field. He plays the right way. He does all the little things. He'll run through the wall for you. I mean, to catch a fly ball, I have absolutely no problem with him. But would I give him up? To get a left-handed starting pitcher who's, you know, had a 12-win season in the big leagues, a 13-win season in the big leagues, and I think is going to fit perfectly in it. When I say fit perfectly, you've got to look beyond this year. And here's where Twins fans are going to get on me a little bit because the theme of this ultimately is going to be just a little bit of patience because there really is this franchise is potentially on the verge of some really, really positive times, and it's not far off. I mean, when you look at guys like May and Meyer, they're on their way. I mean, they are so close. And, I mean, you're going to see, you know, Sano, and you're going to see Buxton before. I mean, I'm talking like in the next calendar year, you're going to see all the four names I just mentioned. Then you take it out another year or two, and you're looking at Berrios, and you're looking at Cole Stewart. And, I mean, Vargas just got called up. And these are really, really big-time prospects. And you look at putting together starting rotation. I mean, you've already got, you know, a cornerstone guy in Phil Hughes. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat the Nolasco mess. I mean, it's been a disaster. But I mean, this is a guy who does have a track record. I mean, let's not forget that. I mean, he's not a rookie. I mean, we've seen what he's done in the National League with the Dodgers, with the Marlins, whatever. And I mean, he's been an innings guy. He's been a horse. I'm going to try to reserve some judgment and see what he does after he comes off the deal with the elbow. Because it just didn't make sense to me that he came over here and was this bad. Because we know he's not that bad. There is a track record. I mean, the National League, it's not the American League in terms of, I mean, it's a little easier to pitch there. We all know they only face 8 guys in a pitcher. It's a different league. And there's more speed, there's less power, whatever. The bottom line is, if you can pitch to the extent that he did in the National League, you shouldn't be a train wreck in the American League. And there had to be a reason for it. And hopefully that the tender elbow was the reason for it, and we'll still see something from him. But now, moving forward, if you've got Nolasco and you've got Hughes, I'm not sure that there's, and Owen Gibson, of course, is not a throwaway piece, but those are three pieces moving forward in the rotation. And then you start talking about May, and you start talking about Meyer, and you start talking about Berrios, and you start talking about Cole Stewart. I mean, it's going to get crowded. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's an embarrassment of riches. They're going to be unstoppable. But I mean, that is going to spring training, and you got to be legit to make a staff, to make a rotation. I mean, you don't make a rotation by default. You don't make it because you just beat some guy out who just barely had a pulse. I mean, you've got to go out and beat out some big time guys who are either proven at the major league level or are coming up as legitimate top flight prospects coming up through your minor league system. And that does not even include, again, some of the bright prospects. You know, we're seeing Santana this year, a guy that they've been raving about, and you see why. Santana's going to be a star in this league. And obviously, you know, Buxton, Sano, you're going to see Vargas, his last name might as well be Ortiz. I want to see where David Ortiz was, you know, 24 years ago or where Vargas was born, whatever. I mean, he looks the same. They're built the same. Facially, they're the same. They've got the same stance, same swing, same power. I mean, it's eerie. He's Ortiz Jr. I'm not going to say he's going to have the Hall of Fame career that David Ortiz has had. And yes, David Ortiz is a no-brain Hall of Famer. He's an easy Hall of Famer. No hablo. I mean, the speech is going to be tricky. But, I mean, nonetheless, I digress. The bottom line is that those who want Gardenhire out, I mean, I do feel you on one spot. We're approaching 5 minutes here, so I got to get over the boards here and out for my next shift. But the sports is the ultimate performance-based business. no matter how good you are at your job, and Ryan Gardenhire is a good major league manager. He's a very good major league manager, in my opinion. But no matter how good you are, if you don't succeed at a certain level, I mean, there does come a time when something has to be done. I mean, for my taste, that point has not been reached yet. But I can see that it's worthy of discussion at this point. I mean, it's gotten to the point where not discussing it would be a disservice. Yeah, you know, thinking that he should just have complete immunity would do that. That's a bit of a disservice. But Ron Gardner can still manage in the major leagues. If he ever was removed here and wanted to manage elsewhere, he would have the opportunity. I promise you, and it would not take long. But anyway, the point I'm eventually trying to get to here is, I want him to be the manager when these guys get here. I want this staff to be the staff that gets this pitching talent in place. Malone will be a part of that. By the way, that's how we kind of stumbled across this topic. I mean, Malone is a guy who had a 12-win season and a 13-win season in the last 3-4 years in Oakland. I mean, a lefty in the rotation. You know, he's kind of a junk baller. He's a complete junk baller, but you know how to get guys out. You know how to get guys out. And I think that soft toss and lefty is a pretty nice complement with the power arms that you have coming up, who are all right-handed. So you get a right-handed power arm heavy rotation with the one crafty lefty. I think he fits really well. And Fold is not somebody who you're building around. He's not your future. I mean, I'm not saying you can't have, you wouldn't find space for him, wouldn't find a spot for him, but he's not your future. So they did the right thing. And the other thing they did was keep Suzuki. And I would have really been upset myself. I would have forgot to mention that, because Suzuki, you can't want more. You can't want more from this guy. He handles pitchers well. Everybody works well with him. He does his homework on all the hitters. I mean, then he only goes out and hits 300, by the way, over 300, and goes to the All-Star game. And I tell you what, catchers are not easy to find. And we knew when they traded Wilson Ramos for Matt Capps, you could have an issue down the road because you didn't know how long Mauer would stay behind the dish. But at the time, that was a contending team. As a matter of fact, when they traded for Capps, they won the division that year. So I mean, they needed a closer, and Capps was an All-Star closer. And you know what? You've got to get aggressive in those situations. You've got to give up something to get something. I still don't begrudge them the Capps Ramos deal. I think at the time it was a very reasonable deal to make, because you needed a power arm at the end of your bullpen if you were going to compete and contend and go do anything in the postseason. And then they went out and made that move. But as I begin to completely ramble as you approach the 8-minute mark, and I'm late for my next shift over the boards here, the bottom line is, there really is an amazing amount of talent coming up. I mean, elite talent. We're talking about pitching. We're talking about right-handed power arms in that rotation. We're talking about some elite position players. The Twins, and I know not every prospect comes up and fulfills that potential that you think they have, that fulfills that promise. But even if you come close to what you should have with these guys, the Twins are on the verge of becoming a contending team. And I know that's hard to believe, because they're a mile away now, and the Tigers just keep getting better. They go get David Price and blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you right now, fast forward 2 years, and I would not be at all surprised if this division flip-flops the standings. The bottom to the top to the bottom. I guess I don't know how Detroit's going to react to some aging veterans and what they do with some big contracts. But it's not at all unreasonable to think that this entire division could be flipped upside down in 2 years. And that would put your boys right back on top, because they are going to have the potential of that type of talent. And I got no problem with Ron Gardenhire leading the way. That's another Jeff DeBase 5-Minute Major. We'll catch you Monday.